1, 2, 3, 4.
It's time now for Breakthrough Thinking, the magazine. Interviews with the stars, movie reviews, insight talk, and up-and-coming talent. Everything you want rolled together for the next 2 hours. Topics such as love, family, social talk, fun, leisure, and travel. And that's just for starters. No matter where you are, the magazine has arrived. Now, here are your hosts for Breakthrough Thinking, the magazine, Dave Isaac and Greg Isaac.
And welcome to the magazine, Breakthrough Thinking, the magazine, every Thursday from 2 to 4. It's a cloudy day. It may rain, but there is sunshine in the studio. Greg Isaac, Joseph Erdo.
Wow.
No, you didn't say
Iardo.
Yeah, yeah. I had to do both.
Well, it was
parts
the sunshine
now?
Thing.
Yeah, he was taken aback by sunshine.
Yeah, it took me apart a little.
Why?
Yeah.
I say sunshine. Plus, I like that movie, Sunshine, Steve Carell. And
Little Miss Sunshine.
Oh, that
great
one.
Movie.
Oh, yeah, the sequel, The Sunshine, was good too. The sequel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very good.
Wow, it looks cold out there, Joseph.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
I mean, it looks gloomy.
Cold for Phoenix, or gloomy for
right.
Phoenix.
Right. You say yeah. that to someone in Illinois, and they're going to say, no.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Upset. Yeah. This is like probably a heat wave for some back east type of states. I was going to say countries, but that didn't make sense. Anyway, great show today. What do we got? We're going to do some movie reviews?
We are packed. Yeah. We've got first of all, coming up, we've got some winning riddles. Remember, we had the contest for The Hobbit.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we've got the winning riddles. We'll read those along with the author's names. We've got some reviews of four movies coming out, including The Hobbit.
Oh, The Hobbit.
Yeah, we're going to review The Hobbit.
And remember, we make this a Hobbit every Thursday to review movies.
We sure do. Yay. All right, and we're waiting for you, Tom. Riddles. We've got more riddles, including a contest. We'll go ahead and do a contest here so that someone can win a DVD. Mm-hmm. So we'll announce that here coming up. And we're going to finally get to hate mail, my hate mail in response to Lincoln. And I hear that you wanted to discuss Lincoln with me as well.
I definitely wanted to discuss Lincoln.
Okay, all right. And so we'll get to that today. And hopefully we'll get to some Kevin Smith interview as well.
Oh, yeah, that'd be good, actually.
Yeah.
Well, it'll be the big question today, and I don't know when Dave wants to do his review, but will two people be receiving hate mail, or will it still just be one? So we'll have
that
to see
will be
what
the
happens.
Question. Mm-hmm. Or will I be sending hate mail?
Or will I be sending hate mail to him?
Right,
too?
Exactly.
A little fight there.
This is going to be great. And then later on, either in this hour or the 3 to 4 hour, I'm going to do a little review on the Addams Family at Damage Theater, and that was very. Well, I'll save my review when we talk about it.
Yeah.
And, of course, from 3 to 4, Greg, we have Tracy Baker, mm-hmm. Examiner.com concerts reviewer.
Exciting.
Examiner, I should say.
Exciting.
I said that wrong. I said examine her.
Oh, okay.
That doesn't make sense, does
that's
it?
That's her after.
Examiner.
You barely even know her yet.
Yeah. Is that weird or what? Well, I just saw how I said that. Yeah. Should I say reviewer or examiner? I say it quick enough, it's okay.
I think when you say examine her, I mean, it sounds good. It sounds funny.
Oh, yeah.
I would take it at that.
Everyexaminer.com from now on, if they're female, I'm going to say it slowly. Like I say Erdo, you say?
Iardo.
I say examine.
Iardo.
No, you say her.
Oh,
examine.
Her.
Dot com. Okay. There we are.
Org.
So, and then, action packed.
Yeah, we're action packed today. And, you know, we'll see if we could preview next week's show. We've got a jam packed next week's show as well.
Ooh,
yeah,
nice.
With a special guest, Judd Apatow.
Judd's calling in?
Well, we got a pre-recorded interview.
That
with
is
him.
So
yeah.
cool. Married to Leslie Mann.
Yeah, yeah. And I asked him about Leslie Mann, so you know we'll get to that next week. And
can I talk to her? You think
he wants to examine her?
Yeah,
time.
I bet you do. Yeah,
she is. I just like her. She was not Wedding Crash. Which one she was?
There's been a lot.
Yeah, what was the one I really liked?
Knocked Up.
I think.
Yeah, that one.
Virgin.
Knocked Up.
She is fabulous.
Oh, 40-year-old virgin. Yeah, mm-hmm.
She's such a great actress, and she is beautiful. That lucky guy.
Yes, she is. Yeah,
that's
yeah.
not fair. Okay.
So we'll get to that next week, as well as we have a lot of reviews to review next week. As you know, there's a lot of movies coming out on Christmas and the weekend before Christmas.
Oh.
So we've got to get through all this today, so we can get to that big show. So. First big show today.
All right, here we go. What do you want to start with?
Well, first of all, on a serious note, I do want to mention that my colleague Neil Cohen had passed away. Thank you. He was a great guy, very kind guy. He was a reviewer for Echo Magazine, And, you know, he passed away suddenly on, I believe it was last Saturday.
Oh.
So, you know, my thoughts go out to his family.
Sure.
And, you know, just a great guy, great critic, and, you know, just a great friend as well.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So... On a more fun note here, let's get to some of the riddles, the winning riddles.
Yeah.
Now, don't try to peek.
I'm peeking. I'm going to guess.
Dave can't read. Come on.
Oh, yeah.
We've got a lot of riddles, but let's go ahead and do the let's do some of the winning riddles.
Mm-hmm.
Therese Laxon wrote in this one. Let's see if you can get it. My hair is yellow. I'm robed in white. Every morning I die. Every night I'm born again. As I grow older, I grow shorter. What am I?
A flame.
Wow. Oh, man. The robe part.
An old flame.
Yeah.
You are really close, and I think that I'm going to give it to you.
Yeah. I'll just say fire.
It's a candle.
Oh,
it's
okay.
A
candle.
Hey, I'm pretty good at
this. Yeah, that was pretty awesome.
What do I win?
You don't win anything.
Oh, but I won, sort of.
But a listener has a chance
one to nothing, Mr. Gray.
There you go. Nothing, yeah. Uh-oh. Okay, I better come back.
Yeah, come back.
No peeking.
I'm ready.
Yeah, so we'll give a listener a chance to win here, too, in a minute. But Cody Pace wrote in this one. Again, these people wrote in these riddles and got a chance to see The Hobbit earlier this week. It doesn't come out until tomorrow, but they got a chance to see it, I believe, on Tuesday night. So Cody Pace wrote in, what can speak from the dust yet has no voice and is found beneath where the living assemble?
I was going to say the wind, but bleachers.
No. Okay. Hmm.
Oh, why say it again?
What can speak from the dust, yet has no voice, and is found beneath where the living assemble?
Graves.
You're close. I'm not going to give it to you.
Oh, man.
It's ancient buried records.
Oh, okay. All right.
Oh, see, you were close. You were close.
Well, that's good, though. Yeah, yeah, not close enough.
I'm not the king of the riddles. That's why I lost out to Jim Carrey in the role for the Riddler. But
oh yeah,
yeah, that Jim.
Oh man. All right. So Sandra Edwards. This one's kind of a fun one. A little bit long, but Sandra Edwards wrote in, "I don't have what you want. A riddle, you say, but riddles, you see, are not my forte. I thought and I thought for a very long time, but all that would come was another rhyme." She's referring to the Twilight limericks we had. Mm-hmm. "But I want what you have. The elusive passes. So I'll do what's been done before by lads and lasses. It's as old as time and works like a charm. It is used secretly to twist another's arm. If you can't beg, borrow, or steal to get it, then this is the method, though not always legitimate."
Manipulation.
That's pretty close.
Nagging. Guilt.
I'm gonna give it to you. It's a bribe.
Yes!
Wow.
Wow, he's doing really good today.
I don't know why.
This is unbelievable.
It's 2-0. I can't believe it.
Or 2-0. Yeah.
Sandra Edwards wrote in one more. Mm-hmm. She didn't get two entries, but you know, just it's another fun one. "It is the same forward or backward, works up, down, north, south, high, low, fast, slow, coming or going. What is it?"
Wow.
That one's tough.
Wow. So this, there, that.
Yeah, so
here.
I'm doing all
coming
this hand
or going.
A woman's mind.
And I'm sure you're going to get hate mail after that. We're going to, it's radar. I'm going to skip right to the answer because I don't want to.
Oh, radar.
Wow. Yeah, radar.
Oh, that's good.
Hey, that's pretty
good.
Yeah,
that one was a good one. So let's go ahead and give the one that that people can call in. You'll give them the phone number here in a second. But I'm going to read this riddle, and we'll read it a couple times throughout the show. Hopefully someone gets it, gets the answer right. If no one gets it during the show, then, you know, right at the end, we'll go ahead and give it away to the first caller. But here's your chance. You know, you don't want to let someone else get it ahead of you. Now, you'll get a DVD. The DVD is a copy of Thunderstruck. It is a combo pack, Blu-ray and DVD. Okay? Here is, this is actually from The Hobbit. So if you've read The Hobbit, and you guys know this one, I told you this one last time, but I didn't read it on the air. "A box without hinges, key or lid, yet golden treasure inside is hid." I'll read it again. "A box without hinges, key or lid, yet golden treasure inside is hid."
Wow.
What is the phone number?
Okay, 602-296-3632, 602-296-3632. If you're shy, you can probably email us, too,
You can
right?
email us. Yeah, we're going to need your address. We won't say it on the air or anything like that, but, you know, that's how we'll get the DVD to you.
So here's the email, or Should we email or text? What's better, guys?
Go ahead and do a text.
Okay. So text at 602-625-3074. 602-625-3074 if you want to text if you think you know this.
Yeah, I'll read it one more time before we get to reviews. But a box without hinges, key or lid, yet golden treasure inside is hid.
And what do they win again?
Oh, they win a copy of Thunderstruck. That is the new DVD with Kevin Durant.
Yes. So again, if you want to call in and guess that, if you know the answer, 602-296-3632. Or if you want to text, if you're shy, 602-625-3074. And you can win Thunderstruck.
Yeah, we'll read it again, you know, before the end of the show, and I'll give them another hint if they can't get that. But
nice.
So let's do some reviews of the new movies.
Yeah,
we'll hold off on Lincoln here for a minute. I know you're excited about that, but let's since we're on The Hobbit, let's talk about The Hobbit, an unexpected journey. Now, in this movie, again, it comes out tomorrow, Martin Freeman plays a hobbit named Bilbo Baggins who is swept into an epic quest to reclaim the lost dwarf kingdom of Erebor, which was long ago conquered by the dragon Smaug. So this is a fantasy film. Peter Jackson directed it. This is the prequel to The Lord of the Rings. Yeah, I was never a big fan of The Lord of the Rings.
Me neither.
But I could see how people would like it, right?
You know, what's the dragon's name? Smaug?
Smaug.
Smaug.
S-M-A-U-G.
Like in Los Angeles. Look at all the smog.
So this is a three-hour movie, close to 3 hours, not quite.
Wow.
170 minutes.
Do they have an intermission?
No, they don't have an intermission.
How do you get a second thing of popcorn?
You're going to have to miss some of the movie.
You're going to have to miss some of the movie, but you know what? I don't think you're going to care. Because forget unexpected. It's, you know, unexpected journey. Forget unexpected. The journey that this movie takes you on is more unbearable, undesirable, unendurable. Oh, gosh, this was absolutely horrible.
Really?
Hobbit. Oh, my gosh. And I know I'm going to get hate mail for it again, but, you know, I can take it. I've taken the Lincoln hate mail. I think I can take the, I don't know, what if they're called Twihards and what are the
Twihards
Hobbitians?
And
the
Twabbits.
So.
The Twabbits. Is that a Twabbit? As Bugs Bunny used to say. Elmer Fudd said that. Elmer Fudd.
So, you know, I can take it. The Middle Earthians, we'll call them that.
Yeah,
I don't know.
The people with the big ears.
Yeah, so this is based on the J.R.R. Tolkien story. And the book was about 300 pages.
Oh.
Now, I believe that the Lord of the Rings, the whole trilogy, was like 1,000 pages or something like that, over 1,000.
And the movies were really long.
The movies were really long. But if you want to cover more than 1,000 pages, you know, this one is also the first part of a trilogy.
It is?
Yes. So you've got 3 hours, nine hours altogether. I mean, the running times haven't been announced for the, you know, next two.
Wow.
But I assume that they'll be around the same. Mm-hmm. Oh. So that is 9 hours for a book that is roughly 300 pages.
Wow.
So 100 pages per three-hour movie.
So it really drags.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, really dragons. I mean, drags, yeah. okay, so...
Elijah Wood wasn't in it?
Yeah, he was in it briefly. The characters will show up from time to time. There was a few characters that showed up this time. Elijah Wood
had... But briefly, because he couldn't even stand it.
Right. Oh, gosh. But, you know, and also, I got a chance to see it, and I want to make it clear that I didn't like the movie as is, but critics also got a chance to see it in the new 48 frames per second technology.
Oh, wow. It could cut it down from 3 hours to like 17 minutes?
That is the only way that it would have been useful. Mm-hmm. Because it looked like the characters were...
in slow motion?
No. It looked like they were hopped up cartoon characters.
Oh.
They were on some sort of speed.
Really?
Yeah.
And it was still 3 hours.
Well, that might make it worth watching.
Hours.
Yeah. I'd say this, another tip for those of you seeing it that may not be fans of The Hobbit or Lord of the Rings. What I would say is whatever you do, do not fall asleep. Because if you fall asleep and you don't sleep through the whole movie... It is going to make that three-hour movie feel like a nine-hour movie. The whole trilogy will come in one for you, and that will not be fun.
Was that a riddle?
Could be a riddle, guy.
I get what he's saying, though.
I need Ritalin after that.
I know.
Yeah, well, you do.
My eyes were really dragging in this.
How many popcorns did you have?
I only had one, I think, that night.
Oh,
yeah,
God.
Excruciating. Gosh. Excruciating. But I'm going to give it two zines, so that's a D.
Two zines.
It's better than Lincoln. That's the standard we're going by from now on.
Uh-oh, here comes more Mel.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's still coming in. But yeah, no, it's just a, you know, if you're a fan of The Lord of the Rings, uh-huh. like a diehard fan, I could see you're probably going to love it. But if you are even remotely unsatisfied with The Lord of the Rings, you will absolutely loathe this movie.
What's a hobbit anyway?
A little guy. I don't know.
So is that what they have their beards, right? And
yeah, well, the Martin Freeman doesn't have a beard in this.
Oh, but, okay.
I mean, I don't know.
So they're just little guys and girls?
Go up to a little guy or something and say, you know, are you a hobbit? Let's see how that plays out.
Not in L.A., I won't.
So another movie coming out. Let's see if this is any better. This came out last week, actually. It's Playing for Keeps. This is the movie starring Gerard Butler as a former sports star, a soccer star, who, having fallen on hard times, starts coaching his son's soccer team as a way to get his life back together. His attempts to become an adult are met with challenges from the attractive soccer moms, played by Uma Thurman, Catherine Zeta-Jones, and Judy Greer, who pursue him at every turn. Jessica Biel plays his ex-wife in this.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, the thing here is it's in desperate need of a curveball. And I know that's probably like the wrong sport, right? That's baseball and this is soccer.
Yeah.
But whatever the equivalent would be. It's just too formulaic. You know exactly what is going to happen.
Very predictable.
Very predictable. Yeah. You know what's going to happen the first few scenes. You know how the movie's going to end and, I mean, everything along the lines. The only good part that I did like, and people were laughing, Uma Thurman, Catherine Zeta-Jones, and Judy Greer were a lot of fun, you know, when they were pursuing him. So had they made the movie more about their characters and actually added more women, mm-hmm. I mean, those are some pretty awesome stars in this
movie. Who's Judy Greer?
Judy Greer, I know her most from Jawbreaker, a movie back in the 90s. It was an excellent movie. Seek it out if you haven't seen it.
I don't know that one.
What else was she in?
Well, since you like the chick flicks, have you seen 13 Going on 30?
Yeah.
Jennifer Garner's friend, her best friend when she's an adult, the blonde, she's pretty good. Not on Jessica Biel's level or Catherine Zeta-Jones' level.
I think that Judy Greer's
pretty good.
I think she's quite attractive.
I'm looking at her right
now. This seems like one of those movies that might be good to mute the whole time.
She was in Descendants with George Clooney.
I believe
The wife of the guy that cheated.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. she's got...
Oh, I love her. She's really nice.
She's a great actress.
Yeah.
And yeah, she's got some really emotional scenes in this. Mm-hmm. Emotional on a humorous level, though, I'll say that.
No, she's... okay.
Yeah, so she's really good. And that's what I mean. If the cast... If you had more of these women who were just, like, pining over him and falling over each other mm-hmm. to get to this guy, and if you're a... yeah, she's beautiful. If he's just like fixated on her right now.
Is that just his finger moving up and down?
But
that's Judy Greer.
Yeah, please.
Go to your room.
And she'll be in the Carrie remake that comes out this
year.
Carrie?
What's that?
Stephen King?
Horror movie.
Oh, that's
the remake.
One? Oh, yeah. You like the scary ones.
I love horror movies, yeah. So, you know, if you like... In my review, I say something about the women are falling over themselves like it's like Gerard Butler is Black Friday the Black Friday deal.
Wow,
if there was more of that,
he
it would be a lot more
fun. He probably gets that
in
real life.
He
though.
Probably does. Yeah. So if you're a woman, you're probably going to like to see this because he's got like his shirt off half the time. So, but for me, I'm giving it a D. Two zines. You know, but I can see that there's some appeal.
How will we ever get Judy Greer on the show?
Hey, I said that she's awesome. The movie.
Yeah. I'm just teasing. Wow, but no, I like your opinions. These
are
good.
Thank you.
You got to come straight from your opinions. That's what makes you a great critic.
Thank you.
Am I right, Joseph?
Absolutely.
I mean, great.
Iardo. Yes.
Yes.
Let's go on to Hitchcock quickly. This is mm-hmm.
yeah.
This came out a couple weeks ago. We haven't got a chance to talk about it. This stars Anthony Hopkins as Alfred Hitchcock. This is kind of a biopic about him and his wife, Alma Reville, played by Helen Mirren. The film takes place during the making of Hitchcock's seminal movie Psycho.
Oh.
Yeah, so it sounds good. I believe that Anthony Hopkins got a Golden Globe nomination this morning for his portrayal as Alfred Hitchcock. Had Alfred Hitchcock been alive today to direct this his own biopic, it's safe to assume that it would have been much more interesting than Hitchcock. Mm-hmm. This is just kind of standard film. There's nothing colorful, nothing interesting about it. Just plays out in a really boring fashion almost. You know, so I'm going to, again, give it two zines. It's a D.
Oh.
It's not consistent, much lively enough to live up to its intriguing star subject. I mean, you want a movie about Alfred Hitchcock, it should be, you know, it should have some suspense. It should, right, you know, at least be exciting. You know, but those who like the technical filmmaking aspect of it all, they might like it. There's a little more of that toward the end. I like that as well, but, you know, just not too much exciting there. And then finally, Killing Them Softly. This also came out a couple weeks ago.
That looked interesting. Brad
Pitt.
Looked
interesting, right? Brad Pitt. Well, here's the synopsis. Three dumb guys who think they're smart rub a mob-protected card game causing the local criminal economy to collapse. Brad Pitt plays the enforcer hired to track them down and restore order. Richard Jenkins, James Gandolfini, Ray Liotta, and Sam Shepard also star. So, like you said, looks good, right?
Right.
Especially when the car blew up.
Right.
And the guy said, hey, what's this car doing here? Boom.
Yeah, that's kind of a funny scene, but gosh, I almost fell asleep during this movie.
Really?
Yeah, this is on par with Lincoln.
Wow.
This is on par with Lincoln.
Oh,
it gets a one zine.
Oh.
That's an F. It tells a story in about an hour and a half that could have been told in less than 10 minutes. That's how small this story is.
Wow.
the writer director. This is based on a novel, by the way. He spaces the major plot points at least 20 minutes apart from one another and fills the rest of the runtime with long-winded conversations about nothing. And then, if seeing several slow-motion sequences in which actor Ray Liotta gets used as a human punching bag or shooting target in between naps is your idea of hard-hitting entertainment, then this movie's for you. Everyone else,
wow.
Everyone else should probably avoid it at all costs.
That is amazing. So you had three Ds and an F today.
Three Ds and an
wow.
F. You know, I would say your best bet here is to see something else. But if you have to choose one of these, Playing for Keeps, you know, it's just not that good of a movie. You'll probably have a good time, but at the end of the day, you're not going to remember.
Or stay home and get a red box.
Yeah, stay home, get a red box. Go see Life of Pi. I gave that five zines. You know, we'll talk about the best movies of the year coming up in a couple weeks here. But
nice,
you know,
nice.
We do. I will say that we have. We either have one or two five zine movies coming out next week.
Oh, really?
Okay.
Yeah. Let's see. One, two. I can't remember. There's either one or two, depending on which ones we get clearance to review ahead of their release. But, you know, so we'll see how that goes. So let me read the riddle again so that people have a chance to call in. Again, if you want a chance to win the DVD Thunderstruck, the riddle is a box without hinges, key or lid, yet golden treasure inside is hid. And the hint here is if you have a copy of The Hobbit, go to the riddle game in The Hobbit, and this is a riddle in there, and it tells you the answer.
Wow.
Okay. And if you don't have a copy of The Hobbit, then go ahead and go on Google or something and do a search for The Hobbit riddles, and you'll find the answer for this. I will say that the Gollum scene in The Hobbit, really short. It's like 10 minutes or 15 minutes, but it is a lot of fun.
It's a good one.
Yeah, a lot of fun. Gollum's always fun. And they do a lot of these riddles in the movie as well.
Hmm. Amazing. That is, okay, well, the phone number, if you think you know the riddle, answer 602-296-3632, 602-296-3632, or text me at 602-625-3074, 602-625-3074. Let's take a quick break, and when we come back, what are we going to do, guys?
Let's talk about Lincoln in my
Lincoln.
Hate mail.
Yes, we're going to talk
and
Lincoln.
And we'll see if Dave will be joined on the hate mail, or perhaps a little hate mail between both
yeah,
of you.
We'll see how I reviewed Abraham Lincoln.
And Kevin Smith still coming up.
Yeah, yes, absolutely. A lot of good stuff. Tracy Baker, 3 o'clock, concert reviewer for examineher.com, and we'll be right back.
At Beerenbaum Baum and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business, Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birenbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Hello, I'm Jessica Olson, and I'm here to introduce you to someone whose job it is to stand together with you at the worst of times. Life throws us unexpected curveballs, including losing loved ones, caretaking, troubled retirements, job losses, and legal settlements. Meet certified financial planner Larry Moscat, who pioneered crisis financial counseling. With a background as a clinical psychology practitioner, Larry has helped numerous people see through their crises to a brighter financial future. Larry?
Thank you, Jessica. At our firm, RII Advisors in North Scottsdale, we know terrible times don't usually last, but the effects of anxiety-infused financial decisions can last a lifetime. For 30 years, our prime goal has been to introduce freedom from fear and a feeling of financial security for our clients. We then move forward with safety and best-case outcome results when it comes to the financial decisions made during the worst of times.
To learn more, log on to www.RIIAdvisors.com. That's RIIAdvisors.com for information on how to get help. Once again, that's RIIAdvisors.com for financial counseling during life's most challenging times.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
Museum. When people come to see them, they really are a scream. The Addams Family.
Neat.
Sweet.
Petite. So get a and welcome back again. This is Breakthrough Thinking, the magazine. And yes, that is the Addams Family now playing at Gamage Auditorium. Great movie. I'm going to review it probably around 3:30 today, and phenomenal. I'll talk all about that, and you know how much I like Donnie and Marie. Wow, I'm a big fan of Wednesday Addams now.
Interesting. Isn't Wednesday Addams like 11-year-old kid?
No. I saw her website.
Oh, okay. I guess they have older.
I would
actresses.
Say you're a fan of the actress, then not.
Oh, the
a fan
actress.
Of
yeah. Oh, yeah. Addams, yeah. Thank you for correcting that. Yes,
that could be.
Yeah, Wednesday Addams, a great actress, Gomez, and Phenomenal actor. I'll go over the whole thing, but it's very, very cool stuff. I would highly recommend getting down the gamage and seeing this most incredible musical, The Addams Family. Okay, back to you, Joseph Erdo.
Well, he's got it down.
Yes.
So, you know, I was thinking maybe like Iardo approved our five zines. Iardo approved.
Oh, yeah.
Iardo stamp of approval. And they
could be
that
like
on
six
the posters.
Zines.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. Well, that could be like a six zener.
Well, I can't do six.
Oh, yeah, that would be a lot.
That's like blows my mind. But so let's go do some of these hate mail. To recap, Lincoln, the movie that came out, and again, it got seven Golden Globe nominations this morning.
I was noticing that.
The Phoenix Film Critics Society, the society that I belong to, it's also, they gave it a lot of nominations.
13.
Is that how for
13.
The Phoenix? Really? You,
or
you
one
got
of
that?
Them? Well, I saw some organization.
It might have been
13.
Actually. I don't know.
Well, there was some other.
I counted them, and I don't even know.
That didn't include you, though.
No, it did not include me at all. No.
And wait, should I give my analysis?
Let's go ahead and let's do your analysis, and then we'll discuss it, and then we'll get to hate mail.
All right, Joseph.
Yeah.
You gave it one zine. I can't believe you gave it one zine.
Really?
I can't believe it. Because I gave it a half a zine.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
Hate mail coming to both of them.
Now,
Dave
takes,
Isaac and Joseph Erdo Iardo.
It takes nothing away from the greatness of Abraham Lincoln.
Right, right.
It takes nothing away of the great thing he did, equality. No question about it.
Exactly.
But this movie, it was like coming in on a conversation that started, way long ago, and a lot of it was meaningless talk. Like, what are they saying? I thought the acting was good. I thought Sally Fields did a very nice job.
Okay.
I liked her acting. However, there was no character development. I didn't even know some of these political people, who they were. I didn't know who they were, and maybe I should. But I think they should have had some type of development, some more background. People assume everyone knows what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a big mistake. I think generally people know what happened, but I don't think people know that Abraham Lincoln had a lot of nervous breakdowns. I think they don't know he lost early on, 10, 15 races. I don't think, it came in and he, like Sally Field was saying, I should have been committed, I'm mad. I didn't even know what that was about.
Yeah.
There was no, am I right? There was no development, and it seemed very, seemed like statues. What Steven Spielberg was trying to do is interesting. There was no violence stuff, which is fine, but it had no emotional impact except what we know really happened. But from a movie point of view, there was nothing to hook you in except this cheap dialogue. Some of the things were cool, but even Tommy Lee Jones, when he gave his speech about equality, and then some other guy said, I thought you would stand up for equality, and I thought he just gave a speech about that, but he was mad about something.
Yeah,
I lost it, and I fell asleep because I go, this is better than a sleeping pill.
But did that make you think it's a six-hour movie when you fell asleep?
No, it's actually like 10 minutes. I go, thank God.
Oh, very good.
Well, I wish that I would have fell asleep.
How many things of popcorn did you have, though?
I had one, but I ate it very quickly so I could take a nap. Now, did I describe that pretty good?
Yeah, and I completely agree. I like how you said that, it's lacking, I would say, a narrative.
A narrative.
Both things. It's about as emotional as a history textbook, and that's what I cited, your high school history textbook.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
In my review, and when you're reading that, you're gaining some knowledge, but you're not exactly entertained. You don't have an emotional impact with it. Same thing with the I forget the exact word you used, but narrative. It needed to have a story that surrounded it, so
some
that we understood.
Yeah,
development.
Yeah,
some narrative development. That you
so
are
you can
right.
identify you just, a little bit
right,
more.
Right.
I mean, and I know how great an actor Daniel Day-Lewis is. He really is.
Well, see, that's what bothers me is that you said it had really good acting, and I can see that.
Well, I just said Sally Fields.
Okay. Because Daniel Day-Lewis, he can be absolutely spectacular.
Yeah.
he's been in some really excellent movies.
Actually, the acting was horrible, except for Sally Field.
I thought that it was like some sort of like theatrical high school drama.
I thought they were improvising. Like, oh, what do we say now?
It was amateurish. It was so amateurish. How
did they get so many nominations?
I have no idea. I have no idea.
What did we miss on that?
Well, here's, according to Jeffrey Beauchamp, I really don't care if I mispronounced your name.
And he's not a champ.
Jeffrey says, take your punk bleep back to school. Lincoln is deservedly Oscar material. You should look for a career doing something you can actually maybe attempt to do well, which you were obviously incapable of doing in the field of movie reviewing. Respect your betters, moron.
Wow, I'm going to change my review.
Careful. No, and then so this is on these are some comments on my Examiner review. Tom Hanlon responds, I think most critics are incompetent, worthless, useless parasites.
Wow.
And Jeffrey comes back and responds, well, I don't know about most, Tom, but this cretin certainly is a pathetic excuse. Some young punks think they can only be cool when trashing those with actual talent. This is apparently the case here.
Wow. Did you get any good mail?
No, I didn't get any. Well, the thing is, this was this review was on the same page as my Twilight review.
Oh.
And that'll actually explain this next comment. But I got 40 likes on this post. I don't know if they liked the Twilight review or if they liked the fact that everyone was arguing over how what a moron I am. But Michelle Marks Binkley from Penn State University says, yeah, seems legit. Lincoln gets an F and Twilight gets a B. Lincoln was a fantastic movie and shouldn't be docked because a film critic fails to understand the idea of the film is trying to portray. Have fun with your vampires, you and the other million other 14-year-old Bieber twihards.
You know what?
Mm-hmm.
And this is what what's her name?
Michelle Marks Binkley.
From Penn State?
Penn State.
Just a sore loser.
Yeah.
Just because Paterno did what he did doesn't mean Penn State's bad. That's why she did it, right? Am I right, Greg?
There you go.
You can't blame the school for something so... Actually, horrific what happened there. But that's my commentary. Now I'm going to get hate mail. What do you say, Greg?
I think so. I think tons of it's coming your way.
I didn't want to be controversial. What happened?
It's turned.
But it's my opinion. I did not. And again, it has nothing with the greatness of Lincoln and the phenomenal stuff he did. Mm-hmm. Everyone knows, I'm a big supporter of fairness.
And a big
fairness
Spielberg fan.
Who?
And a big Spielberg fan.
I am.
That doesn't mean we have to like
But
all
I just
his
did
rights.
Not like. Yeah. I didn't enjoy this as a great movie that could be Best Picture. Is it nominated for
Yes,
that?
it's nominated for Best Picture.
48 frames per second?
It is. No, not 48 frames per second, but it is on the 10 best Phoenix Film Critics Society. It's on their 10 best list.
What's wrong
with
them?
Not on my list. Not on my list.
I want them to come in here. Let's have a panel debate.
I'm in the society. That's all you need. Brent Miles, we talked about him before. He was going to throw milk duds at my fat head.
Oh, yeah. I heard about that one.
Yeah. He called me a hack.
But did you turn around and have
Steven Spielberg?
What?
Huh?
Brent Miles on that picture I see looks a lot like Steven Spielberg.
But when he threw milk duds, did you turn around and grab a few and eat them?
Well, he hasn't done that yet.
Ask him to throw some Whoppers my way.
He's going
to
hide in the back and do that.
Tell him I'll take some popcorn. Throw some popcorn as hard as he wants.
With no butter.
And finally, Vance Fish. Apparently, this guy thinks he's my friend. He's commented on a couple of my reviews. And I will say this. You know, I gave all the movies that we reviewed today D's and an F, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, so he kind of picked up on that. Don't be fooled, people. The average grade of his overall reviews is D-. The average grade of films that lack substance is B. A degree in communications does not mean he has studied the art of film or dramatic writing. Excuse me, I did media analysis and criticism. I want to correct him there. My friend Joseph is merely echoing the intellectual deficit of his generation. Feeble and simple-minded good, deep intellectual and thought-provoking bad. Clearly it comes through in these reviews that a low grade or negative review means that he just didn't get it. Purpose is lost. And here's what I have to say about that. Everyone has their own opinions. Mm-hmm. I am not saying that the movie is bad. I am saying that I didn't care for it. I found it boring and that it was not my kind of movie. And I could not, in my right mind and right heart, recommend that anybody see this movie because It didn't.
Well, that's
speak
what you
to
do
me.
As a critic. You give it some zines.
Oh, absolutely.
Anywhere from zero to five zines.
Because with any movie you see out there, where one critic will say, "Great movie, 4 stars," and or in this case, zings, and then you know another one will say one zing, and then the audience that goes to see it, you know, they say different things. You go on to IMDb, and there'll be a movie that you know we may all like. But a lot of people on the message boards or in comments will say, "Oh, this was terrible." Others will say, "Hey, this was great." And that's the point. Like you said, it's about the opinion.
And you'll see when we announce my best of the year here in a couple weeks that I kind of skew toward the movies that speak to me, that mean something to me, that you know make something inside of me come alive. This movie, I was dead. And you know, here's another thing. The reason I love doing what I do, reviewing movies, and you know, you can call me incompetent, it doesn't hurt me, because you know what, I love seeing movies in the first place, but above that, I love stimulating conversation. And this is exactly why I do what I do, because I have one opinion and I want other people to have other opinions. So don't call me out and call me names.
That's not going to solve anything.
Tell me, why was the movie
good? I totally agree. And they didn't really say that.
No, they didn't. So, you know, from now on, just think about that if you want to criticize our reviews of Lincoln or whatever it may be. You know, say, okay, I respect your opinion, but here's what I thought. Because that's all I'm saying, is that this is what I thought. Not that this is a fact, you know, because opinions, everyone's got them. They're like, you know, that other thing that you say, but
I agree.
That's that.
So, well said, and let's hope you know, if people want to give their opinion, that's great. But
yes,
but don't criticize the critiquer.
Right. Well,
give your opinion about the critiquer.
And I'll say the third part about it is, so you look in the studio now. We have two that you know wouldn't recommend the movie in the sense of their taste. And then a third in me, who's not even going to see it, not necessarily because hearing the reviews from you guys in here, but the type of movie I can see that it is just not the type I would sit through.
Right.
It doesn't mean I think it's a bad movie. It may be a great movie to some people, but you know, it's just you know not the type. So if I was ever you know doing some type of review, I'd say the same thing.
Yeah,
probably.
I'm not trying to sway anyone one way or the other.
Exactly.
I'm trying to create a conversation so that we can you know talk
exactly.
about this and see. That's exactly what happened here. We had a nice little conversation. A little you know it didn't turn into a debate. I was worried it was going to with that. No, I was excited that it was going to turn to that. No, but you know that's what I like about my job the most is that. You know, I get to create this conversation and stimulate these thoughts and get people talking. That's why these contests are not just, hey, call in. You know, they're write a riddle, write a limerick.
Yeah.
That is why I love, you know, what I do.
And it's always the negative comments, too. Usually if someone agrees or likes what someone will say, they don't say anything. But then if they disagree, they'll go, let's say you gave it 5 zings. You would then have a whole other side of the aisle that would say, like, oh, I hated that. Why you're saying that? It's a 1 zinger. What are you doing? You know, so no matter what.
Did you say zinger?
Yeah, zinger, yeah.
No, zings.
There we go.
Magazine.
Yeah.
Not magazine.
Iardo, but, you know.
But, you know, I asked, in the wake of this, I asked Kevin Smith a lot of questions about film critics and stuff. So do you want to get to that?
Absolutely. Yeah, as long as you beeped out.
Yeah, we bleeped out.
Appropriately.
Right.
He's great, though. I did. Right, Greg? I told you, ever since Greg mentioned Kevin Smith, I see him everywhere. I really love Chasing Amy.
Yeah?
I did.
Yeah.
I liked it a lot.
Clerks 2 is one of
my
favorite
films.
Clerks
2 is awesome.
Yeah. So
yeah.
I'm a big fan. Yeah. I just, you know, but
Jay
I'm glad
Silent
we pre-recorded
Strike
it.
Back, Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, one of the funnier movies. I mean, you have a great cast in that.
That's a good one?
Oh, it's fantastic.
He's very talented.
Well, he just announced that Clerks 3 is going to be his final movie as a director.
Oh, okay.
Why? He's not going to direct anymore?
These creative types.
Yeah. What's he going to do?
He was going to make, I don't know, he was going to make 2 final movies, Red State, which he made, and then he was going to make Hit Somebody. Hit Somebody turned out it's going to be like his opus. It's going to be like a 6-part miniseries or something like that.
Oh.
But so his final theatrical film is going to be Clerks 3, is what he said on Twitter.
Interesting.
Yeah, but you know, before he made Red State, he kind of went out there and denounced film critics. He said pretty much what Vance Fish and our other friends that we just spoke about said, that critics are worthless, useless parasites, imbeciles, you know, whatnot. So I asked Kevin Smith, about these comments that he made, and I asked him about where these comments came from, and among other things. And we might bring Kevin Smith's interviews back on the air here soon, but so we need Tommy to get into the Kevin Smith file.
Or do you want to take this call real quick?
Oh, we got a call? Really?
Do you have a fellow critic named Stan Robinson?
Yes, we have a fellow. Oh,
okay.
Yes.
Surprise! This is Candid Radio. Stan Robinson, welcome to the magazine.
Hi.
How are you?
How are you guys doing?
Hey, Stan.
He writes with me for AZ Weekly, by the way.
Oh, cool. Well, welcome to the show. Are you going to talk about Lincoln or what?
Yes, and it's so fascinating because constantly I remind Randy Montgomery, who is the other guy who writes with me, and Joseph, is that I want them to call them like they see them.
Yeah.
All right. And with our roundtable format, it does give our readers a chance just to see how each of us come to our views on each film. I gave Lincoln a B+.
Oh, that would be a 3.5 zine. No, that's a 4.5 zine.
That would be a 4.5, I think.
Wow, 4.5. Tell us then. I'm real interested in this. What was it that you saw that maybe myself and Joseph didn't see? How would you describe the B+ qualities? Why don't we talk about some of the qualities of Lincoln?
Well,
not the person, but the film.
Well, for me, it was like a trip back in time, and to see them on the Senate floor and the congressional floor, going back and forth, and how much passion each side had.
So you like the political aspects, is what you're saying?
Right. Mm-hmm. Because see, those kind of things are hard to get out of a history book. And then, well, of course, I'm like 66, and so I kind of know the whole theme between the North and the South. Slavery was a byproduct, but it was more about lifestyles. The South was feeling that the North was just choking off their future progress, okay? And to have them on the Senate floor, and the passion that they had in support of why they wanted to keep both lifestyles going. And that's what I just found so fascinating. So it was like traveling back in time. There was one scene with Lincoln and two or three of his close people around him. And he says, "Hey, I need those votes. Go out and get them.
Wow.
You know, if you got to give them jobs, I need them."
Well, I could understand that those scenes were interesting, but how I took it, it didn't fire up my passion. It's a wow! So this mess in Washington has started long ago. It's so about trying to semi bribe people to get votes, and there was a nice strategy that Lincoln had, and I did appreciate that to before the war ended, try to get this passed. But otherwise, they'd lose incentive. I did like that part. There might have been a couple parts, Stan, that I agree with you. That was interesting, but it just triggered in me not the passion, but triggered in me the unbelievable political guarding your turf for the benefit of certain individuals, not for the country. Joseph, what say you?
Yeah, Stan, did you stay awake during the film?
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, I'm not trying to call you out or anything. I'm just asking because I'm curious because Dave fell asleep and I really wanted to fall asleep. So I'm just I was just curious. Yeah, gosh, and you like the acting here. Did you put some of the actors on your best acting list?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
And that was because the ensemble aspect is what grabbed me. Okay.
Okay.
You had Tommy Lee Jones and so it wasn't that so much that one actor or actress stood out. It was like the totality of the way it was presented. I mean, it was very slow and methodical, and it creaked along. And that just forced me to, pay attention to what was going on.
So. Because you couldn't believe it was so slow and you were waiting for some action. So, no, I'm just teasing with you. But the big question is, did you like Mamma Mia?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ah, yes. All right. So at least we agree on something.
Yes, I did.
I loved it, too, by the way. I did.
I mean, just as. Like just as quirky as it was, I loved it. So yes, I did.
But that's good. Well, I mean, that's what we wanted, right, Joseph?
Yes,
and Greg. Just opinions, yeah. Because I do see your point of view on that on the political scene. I thought that was interesting. Maybe the best part of the movie, actually, some of the strategy going on. I did wake up for that one. But this is great to get different opinions. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you very much for calling in, Stan. And, that is what I'm trying to get across. That, Stan gave us another point of view, and now we know why he liked the film. Doesn't change our opinion of it, but, now we know that.
But we know that. We encourage other people to call in.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, Stan, thank you so much. We want to hear from you again.
All right, sir. And listen, great show. You guys have me hooked, okay?
Hey, thank you so much. Really appreciate it. All right, and that's Stan Robinson from, one of
AZ
your
Weekly,
AZ Weekly.
Entertainment Magazine and ScreenScene.org if you want to visit his website.
Excellent. Yeah, but we honor that. We like that. And he brings up a good point, at least the political thing. I did find that interesting.
Yeah, I
did like that part. And,
okay.
Wow, so this is good. Now, Tommy, how much time do we have? Maybe we could still play Kevin